You're listening to a podcast on
the Geeky Dad Podcast Network.
I'm the Geeky Dad, and I'm here with my regular co-hosts,
Ariana,
and Rayon,
and Raiden,
and we're the Multiverse Kids!
Okay, so, we are back from vacation. Okay, how do you guys feel? You guys, had a good vacation?
Yes.
Yeah? Good? Now, this episode, we have a special guest. We have a gentleman by the name of Barney Smith. He wrote a book called Dad Jokes, and he's going to talk about his new book called Dadder Jokes. Now, do you guys know what a dad joke is?
No.
No.
Do you have a dad joke?
I know.
What?
I have two.
What?
Why is it so dactyls pee silent?
Why?
Because I messed it up.
Oh, great.
It's why can't you hear a pterodactyl use the bathroom? Because the pee is silent.
Oh, he killed the joke.
Why did
everybody knows jokes go to die?
Why did it take it
with Rayon? What?
Okay.
Okay. Oh, stop. Stop. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I got one. Okay. I got a dad joke. What type of beer is toothless? Huh?
Beerless.
What?
Not good.
What?
Not good.
You got any answer?
Not good.
No?
A bear without teeth.
A gummy bear.
Are you serious?
Because he has gum.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's not a bad joke.
That was a good one, right? Yeah? Yeah?
No, that was a bad one.
Okay. I got another one. Okay? Why didn't the skeleton go on the roller coaster? Huh? Huh?
I feel like I know this one.
Because the skeleton is going to break.
Yeah. No?
Because it'll be bone shaking or something?
No. You guys give up? Because it didn't have any guts!
That's not a joke.
Yes, that was a good one, right?
That's not.
Okay, I got another one. Yes. What did the baby corn say to the mama corn?
Where's popcorn?
Finally, you got it. Finally! Okay. All right. I got one more right here. How do you get a squirrel to like you?
What?
Hmm? Yeah. How do you get a squirrel to like you?
With nuts.
Hmm?
And acorns.
Nuts and acorns, Daddy.
You're on the right track. Huh? No? No?
That's an acorn, Daddy.
No. You have to act like a nut. Get it? Get it?
No.
Oh, boy. Oh, you guys.
But nuts crack, Daddy.
Okay, you guys are hopeless.
You don't have any good jokes.
Whatever. Okay? Our guests is going to talk about dad jokes, and after these messages, you'll get to listen to what he has to say. Right, kids?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be right back after these messages.
He's on the run from the law, falsely accused of murdering his... Wait. Oh, got my scripts mixed up here. Here we go. This makes more sense. The Movie Wire Podcast with host Justin Henson. Hear Justin's movie verdict wherever you listen to podcasts. Tune in to The Movie Wire today.
Okay, I'm here with a very special guest tonight. It's Barney Smith. Now, Barney, no relation to the dinosaur, right?
Exactly.
I'm sure you get that all the time.
You know what? So
dad joke, right?
Yeah. See, exactly. So, the funny part about it too, Raphael, is that my I always made sure, because like I got the name. I've been called Barney longer than actually my birth name is. And I won't say my birth name because I always like to separate out, like your day job with your passions and stuff like that. But I got the name Barney. So a lot of people don't see it because this is an audio podcast. I got the name Barney when I was 11 years old. I was in a school play. And what happened is I had a jacket on. I had like this faux fur jacket, brown fur coat on for the play I was in. And the director said I looked like Barney Rubble because of my, the way I looked at the time. So the name stuck. And so what happened was, Raphael, the name stuck. And do you hear that cricket? I have a cricket in my... I have a cricket in my office someplace. All right. Anyway. And so what happened was, off to art school, and that's how I started, getting into art, is the friends of the theater director, they were friends of them, actually were professors at the art school that I went to for college. And they never knew what my real name was. They always thought my name was Barney in the first place. So what happened was, when I went off to college, I went to Webster University in St. Louis, and they all called me Barney. So that name stuck as being called Barney. So the whole thing, so even through high school, then at college, people were calling me Barney. And then what happened was, after that, I went into the Peace Corps, Raphael. So I went into the Peace Corps. And in order to get letters of references, people always referred to me as Barney in the letters of references. So when I went off into the Peace Corps, Raphael, I was in the Peace Corps for 4 years. I served in Niger, West Africa. And so I was known as Barney the whole time there. And then after that, what's that?
Is that where you met your wife?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, almost. See, yeah. And so what happened was, after that, then I started working for other organizations like Peace Corps and Doctors Without Borders. And so I was there in a lot of those places. So literally, Raphael, 95% of the world knows me as Barney. The only people who call me by my birth name is like my parents, really, when they're like upset or something like that. And it was funny, when I first got that name Barney, my father asked me, he goes, "Where'd you get that name? Is that because how you smell? Like I smell like a barn, I guess." I'm like, no. So I met my wife after when I was working overseas. The last place I worked at was in Nigeria. I was in an urban maternity health clinic. I was in an urban maternity health care clinic program that was there in Lagos. And then that's where I met my wife. I met my wife there, and when I was there working for Doctors Without Borders. And that was 11 years ago that I met her. And we've been married ever since. We got three kids. Thus the dad joke book that I'm working on a sequel to right now. So anyway, Raphael, that kind of like, I'm not sure if I was answering any questions that you haven't asked me yet, but that's basically the kind of like the back of the napkin history of in summation of what I've been doing the last 30 years.
Yeah. Well, do you have a favorite like dad joke?
I have a favorite dad joke? Yes. You know what? So basically, Raphael, so I have, as I mentioned, I got this the book. I have a sequel book coming out called Dadder Jokes. And one of the things about this is like, so the, it depends on the audience. Some of the jokes it refreshes as well. Is that so? Some of the jokes that are just pure corn and pun are super fun to say, but the ones that actually are kind of that are, that are actually like funny, but like you have to understand the reference. I like those as well.
Well, like the one, know, I just, this is a very geeky audience right here. Okay. So, you know, maybe you can give one that's a little geek related.
Okay. Yeah. I got a good one for you. And here's it. Some of them are not, some of them you have to read because some of them are play on words, but if you say them, then you can't, you might not get the reference. But there is the really good one that I thought that was, that I just posted the other day was, and so I said, I just found out Albert Einstein existed. I thought he was a theoretical physicist. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you come up with these dad jokes, do you test them out with people? In general,
no, I so the history of it, so it's how I kind of started this whole journey of the dad jokes is that you know, circa 2020, we had for those that you know for those that you know recall, because we want to forget the bad things, but right. 2020 was a really hard year. You had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of, you know, you had the George had also, it was during an election period. So it was really easy to get into a fight on Facebook or online or on Twitter. It was really easy. Not saying it's harder now. It's because the fact that now we can self-police and actually self-edit what our audience is looking like. So for instance, is that, it's the more you actually, you know, you block and then, you know, it just edit who, you, what things you're able to read or not. It's not as easy as it was in 2020, where you're able to really just stumble upon an argument, just get in an argument about anything about science, politics, you know, religion, anything. You could really get into a fight if you wanted to. I really wanted to make sure that my corner of the internet was, you know, safe for everyone. So what I was able to do is I just started posting a dad joke every day. And the easy ones that are just like the low hanging fruits were easy there. And so then I realized what I needed to do was actually just dig a bit deeper and find ones that were actually harder to find. And in my book, about, I would say roughly about 5% of the jokes are actually kind of invented on my own in there. So, okay. And then like, and a lot of them is, it's not like being a stand-up comedian where you're kind of have to like really like do dig and try to test stuff out. It's so easy to invent a pun. It's not that I'm not a smart man, but I like it's, but I am, but it's, but when you actually kind of like see something and be able to like play on words on it, then it's not overly, it's being, making corny jokes and corny puns does not take a brilliant mind to do. It just takes an observant and being observant of language than more right, than anything right. else. And so that's basically what I did. But I can tell you too, what I'm really happy about this book, Raphael, is that it is, two things that make it stand out, then you can go and buy a dad joke, but you can buy jokes, corny jokes on Amazon. There's hundreds of them. But what makes mine that I'm proud of that kind of stands out behind what all the other ones are available is one, it's fully colored. So it's a fully colored book. So
nice.
The book is fully colored. And the other thing about that, it is 100% safe for anyone to read, meaning like it's not tame in the sense
nothing dirty. Like
so here's the thing, if you go buy a dad joke, you're gonna end, and if you buy a book on jokes, you're gonna end up stumbling upon something that could be, you know, misogynistic or racist, or there's some things on here that will make fun of somebody's intelligence. When you actually try to make a joke that actually goes to the detriment of somebody else's disabilities or somebody else's like cultural values, isn't that funny? So it actually, I find it's actually hard. It's actually the more noble pursuit of telling a joke for the sake of being funny with, well, like a, with a puns on it for that not. And so that's the other thing that I'm proud about. Like I actually have my 6-year-old can take the joke book. She takes the book to her first grade. Completely fine. You know, some of the jokes are funny for a first grader because it makes fun of snails. I mean, it's like, my brother who works at a stone quarry takes the book with him to work and he's hanging out with a bunch of, you know, like 30, 40, 20 year old, you know, blue collar guys that are, you know, covered in dust and stuff. And he cracks a few jokes on through the book and they laugh. My mother is a minister. She has the book sitting at church. So it's completely safe for everyone where you're still finding some pretty darn good humor on right. it. I mean, so, you know, another good one I'm just looking at here is that, you know, you'll never be as lazy as whoever named the fireplace. Like, it's just some of them are like observational pieces.
Right,
And another thing too, Raphael, about the book that is also unique is a lot of dad jokes are just rehashed jokes that you can just do hashtag dad joke and you'll find the joke that's been floating around for a while. What I've been able to do is, I'm a huge fan also, Raphael, of old timey radio programs like okay. Jack Benny
yes.
and, you know, Charlie McCarthy and George and Gracie Burns. Abbott and Costello, like some of these things are like some of those lines they do on there, those like witty comebacks and lines they'll put in right. there are actually really funny. But what it is, I've actually kind of had to tweak them a bit to actually make them to more of a modern audience sensibility.
Right.
And I'll give you one of them I just put out, Raphael, which I like a lot, is it was from an old Charlie McCarthy show episode. And I was able to tweak it to make it one thing which is good when it comes to comedy is self-depreciating humor.
Yeah.
So jokes that I make fun about myself actually then is able to then translate well because then people are laughing at you, but they're actually laughing with you because you're the one that made the joke about yourself. So right, an example yeah. is I tweaked one Charlie McCarthy joke, Raphael, that is, I told my wife when I was in my 20s I was unbelievably handsome. She responded, "You're right, I don't believe it." So that's a joke from the 1930s that you're not gonna like bring it back out, you know.
Right,
I'm finding the jokes that are like almost 100 years old and bringing them back out, dusting them off.
Timeless.
Yeah, making them timeless. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So where can people pick this up? On your website only, or you can get this anywhere on Amazon?
So the book itself, you can buy it on Amazon, but I'm a big proponent of small bookstores. It's really good that we support small bookstore, you know, small independent bookstores. So if you go to my website, storycomic.com, on storycomic.com, I do have a link to the book Dad Jokes is available now to purchase and own. And what I'm doing as of this recording, I am launching a Kickstarter campaign for my sequel book called Dadder Jokes. And each book has over 500 you know, as we say, 500 groans and chuckles in it. The benefit of doing the going on the Kickstarter and doing and backing the project as the Dadder joke book is that you're able to you can buy the first book and the second book, and you can get it cheaper than you can buy it on Amazon right now as well. So that's the benefit of it. And you can get the PDF version of it. And I also have a lot of, there's also what, you know, in the world of Kickstarter, you're also going to have limited variant covers as well that are available. So for those that don't necessarily like my cartooning, you don't have to buy a book with my art on the cover. So there are some award-winning illustrators and cartoonists that I've had come on and able to do some covers for me as well.
That's cool. So you want to name some of the artists that are going to participate in this?
Yeah. So I have, there's a really well-known artist. Let me pull up the preview. I can share with, okay, here it is. So, for instance, we have Brian Ballinger, Brian Bredwig Ballinger, which is an award-winning muralist and a children's book author and artist. And he is on, he's worked on VeggieTales.
He's done
a lot of, so he's done a lot of work also. He's a lot of published children's books on there. I also have Mark Gagne, who has done covers for, Image Comics, and he's also an award-winning children's book artist and author as well. And I have the famed Dirk Stanley, who is a Renaissance art man who's actually. Does he does long prose work, but he's also done he's also a role-playing game designer. He's actually designed about 12 role-playing games, and his art is very accessible and unique to put into to make a cover for my dad joke book. So he did a series called Faraway Land. Where he's actually done an incredible amount of world building and creating these worlds of role-playing games that he made as well. So, yeah, so those are the three artists and authors that have been able to. Contract with to come in and do the work to do some covers for me.
That sounds fantastic. I mean, I hope our listeners can contribute to this Kickstarter. We're gonna give some links to it, and we'll try to help as much as we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you also have a podcast. You want to like promote that as well?
So I have a podcast. So yeah, you're Raphael. So I have four podcasts that I do, and this kind of all started off with the idea of. Pre-COVID, I was really looking to, working on my own, independent publishing works. I do some graphic novels, and I've done some children's book stuff as well. And I really wanted to like do a deep dive on just learning, the tricks of the trade when it came to like how to do. And what happened was I was really trying to like master the, Photoshop, and I remember I was talking to a comic book artist friend of mine, and he pointed out, and after the conversation, I said, you know what? There's a cartoon that I was watching that I opened up on Reels. Basically what it was is that, so I was really trying to learn how to, do the Photoshop, and I had a really good conversation with him. And so what he ended up doing is, and I said, I should have recorded this. And so it made me want to think about, I want to record, because there's so many people, as you know, Raphael, who have amazing, amazing talent. And there's so much work out there that's just not kind of that, and there's so much wisdom out there, with our environment, with the independent comics world and stuff like that, and then like the an independent writers world that are not being able to share, they don't have that platform to kind of share their knowledge. So what I did was able to start a podcast, because my website's called storycomic.com. I started to create a podcast called Story Comic Presents, where I interview amazing storytellers and artists. And it kind of, like I say, it kind of blew up from there. And then I was able to do some spin-off podcasts with one called We Make Children's Books. And I did another one. I do another one called Vermont Artists and Authors. Because I'm just right up the road from you. You're near New York.
I was actually in Vermont not too long ago.
Were you?
Yes. Okay. I was just passing through. I went to the Ben and Jerry's factory.
You were because I live in Morrisville, which is only like two towns away from Waterbury. So you were like 10 miles away from me, Raphael. Wow. See?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your ice cream? What'd you get?
Well, they gave us the churro.
Okay, the churro.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I mean, if we had talked sooner, maybe you could have told me the cool places to visit there while we're passing through.
I should have seen you. Did you visit? For those that are listening, here's a little Vermont piece for you. That there is. Did you visit the graveyard?
No.
The Flavor Cemetery?
No, I didn't get a chance to do that because one of the kids was getting sick, so we had to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Too much ice cream, probably.
Probably.
Right. Was it? Did you get like? Did they get just like motion sickness, like car sick? Was it the drive?
No, it was just like, it probably was a drive, actually. It was like 5-hour drive.
Yeah. That's a beautiful drive because you probably went down 80. You probably took Interstate 89, then you came on 91.
Yeah. 93. Yes, definitely, yeah. 91. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful too there. So, and there's a really good all-you-can-eat Chinese restaurant that's in Brattleboro when you drive up through Brattleboro for next time you go through.
Okay. Yeah. Because we did find a Chinese place, but it was not that good.
No. Yeah. No. But so, yeah. So Raphael, that's basically how it kind of started. It was like seeking out people to, you know, come on the show. And as you know, as well, then and this is the thing about a podcast too, that I just also want to appreciate what you do as well, Raphael, is that doing a podcast, a lot of people think it's just, oh, I'm just going to hit record and I'm just going to do this. And then I'm going to just, and that's it. But for every hour somebody does as a recording, as an interview, you do have to add like at least 3 more hours to that for, you know, the administrative tasks of, you know,
right.
Checking your email, doing this, setting up the thing, getting, you know, getting the Zoom ready. You gotta download the audio from it. And then you have to add in your bumper music and do the editing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so at the very least, for everybody that's listening to this podcast, who are going to be future guests or previous guests, do Raphael a favor and share the work he did. So make sure that after he does that, after he edits and does your video, make sure you tag him, you share it, make sure you share your friends, and make sure you let people know that you're on a podcast. And this is where you can find all of Raphael's shows and all that stuff. Yeah. So that's my little PSA, because you know what we do? So this is what you do, Raphael. What you do is you provide free marketing materials for creatives.
Yes,
and
I try.
It is something that we need to understand and appreciate, and make sure that we take full advantage and appreciation and gratitude to the work that a podcaster does.
And you know what I try to do on this show? I try to highlight all the geeky dads that are out there. Right. And you're a good one. You know, so far I don't know anything about your personal life, but you seem like a good geeky dad. You know,
I love it. You know what? That's the thing about being a geeky dad. I just went off to, we just went to, there's a place called Storyland, which is like,
by there.
Yes.
On my trip. Yes.
So Storyland. So basically there's
we actually went to Mount Washington. That was
right.
Trip.
See? Yeah. So there is up in Northern New Hampshire, there is a sea of little amusement, you know, like park kind of things, like family friendly, like not huge, like not, you're not talking about Six Flags. We're talking about like the ones you use like $40 a ticket or $30 a ticket. You spend the day there. There's one Storyland. There's another one that's called Santa's Village. There's another one called Clark's Trading Post. Yes. So for the longest time, I was a Santa's Village person. Like, you know what? Santa's Village. Every year we're going to go to Santa's Village. Until last year, you're like, you know, they're the tail end of COVID, that you couldn't go to Santa's Village unless you bought a ticket in advance because you only had limited amount of people could go there. So I'm like, darn it. I didn't know you could do. So then what I did is like, so I was buying the tickets the night before and they said, no, Santa's Village is sold out. I mean, Santa's Village is sold out. So what I ended up doing was going to, well, there's Storyland. I'll go to Storyland. Okay. And so we got tickets. So as I took me and my two girls, I have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And technically this year, there's going to be a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old, but
right.
Two girls and a boy. So the two older ones are the girls. And so I said, yeah, we'll go to Storyland then. We went to Storyland. I am a Storyland convert. I was always a Santa's Village person. Santa's Village, you can take 2 hours and see everything because it's not that big. And it's a pretty specific theme on what you're talking about.
Right.
Storyland is fun because Storyland is, you know, you got all the nursery rhyme places to visit. Then mm-hmm. you can actually then go to Cinderella's castle. Then you can go to visit an Egyptian themed place. Then you can go to under the water themed place. So it's basically, when you have the term Storyland, you can basically say, okay, was it in a story? Yes. Okay, let's do it. So there's a polar bear roller coaster. Like there's tons of stuff there. So that was fun. So anyway, to answer your question, Raphael, you're probably thinking, what does this have to do about being a geeky dad? This is what has to do with it, is that today I love the best time to be a geeky dad, as I got to say, is when you go to these cheap amusement parks and proudly wear, I walk out there, you know what? I am proud to wear white socks with sandals. And I'm wearing that stuff. And then what I'm doing too, that's the best time to actually wear the complete nerdy t-shirts that you can wear.
Yeah.
I wear this old Nintendo shirt. It says Nintendo. I was wearing a Voltron shirt
that day.
Yeah, see, I was, you know, you can, yeah, exactly. Like, and you kind of like,
and all the other geeky dads was like, nice shirt.
Yeah, I was wearing a shirt with like the classic, you know, like the NES 8-bit Nintendo thing, mm-hmm. and it says classically trained on it. And I'm walking on there, and I passed by a dad, and the dad was wearing a shirt with a dinosaur on it, says Datasaurus. And uh-huh. we look at him, we kind of like nod, you know, like we kind of point and nod, you know, just seeing all these like goofy, like unabashedly proud, you know, dad t-shirts is the best. Yeah.
And I think dads today are much different from dads that we had.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think I spend more time with my kids than my dad ever spent time with me. I don't know how it was with you.
Yeah, you know what? And that's the thing, because I was thinking about that. It's like we grew up in a mobile home. I had three other brothers. Uh-huh. So it was a mobile home and it was small. And my memories of my father were limited to what time spent. Mm-hmm. And then it was a revelation I had when I thought about why my dad was never around. And I was thinking mm-hmm. about it. And I said, you know why? That's why my dad's not around. He had four boys in a mobile home.
Yeah.
His escape was like, what do you, he has no place to relax.
Right.
Here, the point of like, I got where, you know, so for those, I'm going to paint a picture for your listeners. I am in what Raphael can see now is a green blanket behind me because I was, you know, you never know. It's the same thing where you always got to show up with a card to the party. Maybe you have to bring a card, you know, I'm quite sure. So anytime we're doing a podcast, not quite sure if it's going to be audio or video. So I got my green screen ready just in case, but I'm going to pull it behind for the sake of the audience. So I can describe what's behind me here. So you can see how much of a geeky dad I am. So I have behind. So.
Yeah, I see it.
You see it. So
yeah.
So what I'm gonna, you know, for the audio listeners out here, so I have behind me, I got my screen set up where I have behind me, I got all my posters. I got an old Spider-Man poster. So if you're looking at it this direction, so the wall side,
mm-hmm.
Raphael.
I see a Birdman over there. Yeah.
Oh no, no, on the other side. So then I guess I'm on the left side. Right, that side. This side I'm pointing at. So basically for the listeners out there, this is what you do when you become a Gen X dad. This is what you do. So a Gen X dad, okay? What you do, I was very fortunate that I found an old box of all my old posters I had hanging up in my room growing up. So what do you do when you find old posters that you want? You can't hang them up with tacks or sticky tape anymore. This is what you got to do. If you are 46 and you found your old posters, you frame them.
Exactly.
I have behind me an old Lego Futron poster. I have an old Nintendo Power poster. I unfolded them and now they're in frames right now. So
yeah, that's what you got to do. Yeah.
That's what you got to do. See? And I think too, is like, I believe the point of it too, you mentioned
call it a
like
man cave.
It's a literal man cave because this is the basement. And I got toys and stuff hanging in the back there. Yeah. That red thing behind me there is I'm trying to sell that. It is a extremely rare strawberry shortcake cupboard.
Wow. That
you can't find anywhere. So I'm just trying to find a way to actually kind of like sell it. So for those that are going to buy a dad joke books here. So if you're looking for an extremely rare vintage strawberry shortcake cupboard. Raphael. So the point of it is that different dads is because there's something about that our parents' generation were shy about a hobby that they said they had.
Yes.
Very shy. They didn't want to talk about it at all.
Yeah.
My father had a train set, and I asked my father when I was young, you know, Dad, Daddy, you have a train set? Well, no, it's your uncle's. I'm like, really? Like, it wasn't really like, yeah, that was my train set. It's the same thing as like you'll find like, you know, old like people like our parents' generation will find out has a hidden Hot Wheels or Matchbox cars collection. Yeah. And they didn't want to. They were ashamed of having toys.
Why was that though?
I think it's the generation. We are subject to, you know, the previous generation's values in a way.
Right.
So it actually starts. It's slowly moving to that point where we like. Us and our generation is like a, you know, Gen Xer generations is like we were inundated with more hobbies and more things that as we grew up, we realized that we don't care if people know we play Dungeons and Dragons or we don't care that people know that, you know, I have a Super Nintendo that I refurbished and started playing again. It's to the point where it's like, there's a point where like, and I think it's that Gen X attitude of a devil may care attitude is like, you know what? Nobody's getting hurt. You know, it's like, and I think it's like, and our parents were raised by, you know, like, you know, the parents that were raised by the fact that they actually had their parents who were the greatest generation wanted the best for their kids because they want to do that. So the baby boomer generation had an idea of, in a way, stereotypically speaking, is that that they wanted what they wanted, and so that the next evolution of that would be the Gen Xers, where all of a sudden we were left to our own accord. The Gen Xers, we were the best generation to survive COVID because we were used to being alone and being bored.
Exactly. Yeah.
So. And reminding people like our kids' generation is that you don't understand how good you have it. Like, it's like, yeah, we heard, you know, we have to walk up, you know, walking 2 miles back and forth in the snow uphill.
Yeah.
No, not that. Not that. That was a lie. We're going to tell you the truth. You never have to listen to the radio and put a blank tape in there and wait for that one song you wanted to hear for hours.
Yeah.
And then if you went to the bathroom and you missed it, you're never hearing that song. You have to wait another day and a half and hope you can hear that song again.
Same thing with TV shows. Now you can get any TV, any episode you want, blink of an eye.
Right. You know, if you missed an episode of MacGyver, you missed it forever. You're never going to see that again. Unless you're hoping
to see a rerun. Yeah.
Right. And you don't know when it's happening. No. You don't know when it's going to happen. See?
Yeah. Well, I wish we can continue this for longer because, you know, it's engaging conversation to talk with another geeky dad. We should do this again. Okay.
Yes.
And, you know, everybody check out you know, the dadder jokes. That's what's called,
right? Yeah.
And dad jokes is the original one, right?
Yes. And you can see it at storycomic.com. If you go to storycomic.com, you'll see all the hyperlinks on there as well.
Yeah. And you can also see links to his podcasts over there too. So, you know, a lot of fun stuff you can catch on that website.
All right. Thank you very much, Raphael. This has been great.
Thank you. It was fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I wish we could talk more, but, you know, I don't make my episodes too long.
You know? That's good. Yeah, I am going to
send me some promotional material. I can use it, and I'll post it around too. All right,
I'll do that. I'm gonna subscribe to your podcast as well.
I'll send you some links. I only have like a minute left, and the Zoom is gonna cut down on me.
Oh, you have all right, so, okay.
All right, so awesome. Thank you again. All right.
All right, have a good one, Raphael.
All right, bye. Good night. All right.